Hello, and welcome back to the Faitlin Files. I am your host, Faitlin Rysplinabush, Bushek the President's Note the Beer, and I am pleased to report that I have been causing havoc here on Starbinger Base. My guild will be here within the hour, and my basic progenitor has been unable to capture me. Right now, I am just strolling the halls. I'm not even running. I am wearing havoc-causing, delightful stroll armor slash attire ensemble number 556654. And believe it, listeners, I have these idiots by the throat. Array shield? How did this happen? I'm smarter than this.
Apparently not. Consider your podcast on indefinite hiatus.
How dare you!
Lap it up, nerd.
They are coming. And they will not destroy this base entirely while I am still here. It would seem you have a chance to join me. Think of what we could do together.
Nah. Many boats, bitch.
Stunning work.
Oh, what? So undeserved.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the stomach. Oh, I just had lunch.
Jabba, this is your last chance. Free us or die.
This is Return of the Pod.
Right, sons, and welcome to Return of the Pod, a podcast about Star Wars and more, where we discuss and celebrate the movies, shows, books, comics, games, and everything else from the galaxy far, far away, and will occasionally journey to other galaxies. Every generation is a legend, every legend is a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, Disgraced Jedi and Force Mystic Brian Silliman. Joining me are the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, starting with former Force-sensitive Assassin's Guild member turned droids rights activist, Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
And the smuggler with a not-so-secret heart of gold, Captain Matt Romano.
Greetings.
First off, congratulations to Caitlin for trapping her clone replacement and canceling the Faitlin Files, her replacement's podcast. I mean, pick a lane, right?
Yeah,
pick
an accent. Thank you very much.
Anyway, Faitlin is locked up tight, very tight this time. But the base is still on lockdown because enemies from across the stars are on their way here to try and capture the hottest take in the galaxy. And it is our job to stop them and to protect it at all costs.
It is a gift. We have the key. We can open the vault. Why not use this weapon?
You cannot wield it. None of us can. It's too hot.
Caitlin is right. We cannot wield it. But, as I've said, it is sentient and always adapting, and I still think we may be able to use its essence to forge something else. With us, as always, is our reprogrammed IT interrogator droid AZ-00, a.k.a. Azu. Status on planetary defenses, Azu.
Yeah, shields are up for orbital bombardment, and your cannons are up on the ridge, but if they all come, you know, in force, which they're gonna do, you won't be able to stop them for long.
It is a gift. Why not use the take against them?
We just talked about this, literally.
Boy. No, but I'm with him. Use it.
No, it would lay waste to the entire galaxy, including us. How many times do I have to say it?
It is a good day to die.
Now, enough cross-franchising. I said I would handle it, and I'm handling it.
No, not very well, if you ask me. I mean, look at the mistakes you made last week. I don't know why anyone should trust you or trust anything that comes out of your mouth, quite frankly. You know, I don't think I'm alone here.
Yeah, the ball's right.
I think I'm with
Az. I saw some other people, too.
So. All right, okay. We're recording on August 9th, 2021, and we've got a new episode of Star Wars The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
To discuss, but first, it's time to throw to Caitlin for some news on the march.
News on the march.
Alrighty, thank you, Brian. Starting out our news this week is the official announcement that, yes, Star Wars The Bad Batch will have a season two coming in 2022.
More shit gone. Give me more.
Woo. Say that five times fast.
Two.
Bad Batch season two in 2022. Wow.
Hey, you did it.
Hey, I did it. There you go.
You can be taught.
But yeah, guys, really exciting. We weren't sure if we were going to be getting a season two with a lot of these Disney Plus shows. We haven't been certain about if something will continue on. We're still not sure about WandaVision. We know that Loki's getting a season two. Yep. Now here is the first big Star Wars Disney Plus exclusive that we that we are getting. And of course, we are getting a season two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Days before that, What If hasn't even debuted yet. Will have by the time this part. No, it's still. But chances are you might be listening to this before What If premieres, but they were like, oh, yeah, it's got having a season two. Yeah. I'm like, okay, they just ripped that Band-Aid right
there
off.
There you go.
They're just doing it.
But Star Wars makes you wait a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, but what do you guys think? Like May 4th, 2022, we're going to do another May the 4th with the Bad Batch?
I think that sounds pretty solid.
It's an interesting bet. I mean, do you guys think we'll get this, that like after Book of Boba Fett, this will be the next Star Wars thing we get? Or do you think we'll get potentially the Obi-Wan show and then get this?
I think we'll get Obi-Wan before we get this.
Kenobi!
I wouldn't mind getting, this is, how entitled does this sound? I want at least two live action Star Wars before going back to Bad Batch. So that's what I want.
Yeah. I agree. I also feel entitled and I deserve that. So yes. I'm with you on that. Yep.
Where's the book, George? Anyway, that's some very good news.
It's very good news. Yeah. Unfortunately, our next bit of news is not as good, not exciting at all. We got the sad news that as of July 28th, author J.W. Renzler passed after about an 11-month battle with pancreatic cancer. He's best known as the prolific author of tons of making of books, the best making of Star Wars books you'll ever read. With the making of Star Wars in 2007 becoming a New York Times bestseller and using never heard or seen interviews and notes from well before 1977. He also covered Empire and Jedi, as well as the prequels and Indiana Jones. And we do want to point out that a GoFundMe page put up by his family to help with medical expenses exceeded its goal within 48 hours. Further contributions will be donated to the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. He was a legend. His books are the gold standard for Star Wars anything, and he will be greatly missed.
Yeah, have you guys read any of these books, or do you have any of them?
I believe, I think me and my brother did, yeah. Like from the mid-2000s.
Yeah, they're you can still get them now. You can get them used and expensive. But they are insanely good. And he was to the point where he was also, I'm probably wrong, but he was on set for all of Revenge of the Sith. I remember Pablo Hidalgo was tweeting about him. It's like they were just in the heat of it, the two of them back and forth. And what everyone said about him was that he was just the nicest guy. And he also, he didn't just write making of. He wrote things like the adaptation of the original treatment of Star Wars called The Star Wars, that adaptation, that comic adaptation too, he wrote that. He also, they brought him in to write a two-parter of The Clone Wars, and guess which one it was?
Oh, my.
Oh no.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Is it the one we're all thinking of it as?
I didn't even, no, it's not. I didn't even know until today. When I was like, well, which one? And then I looked, it's season six. It's The Disappeared, part one and part two, also known as the Jar Jar and Mace Windu one. The one where Jar Jar makes out.
Jar Jar, I asked you here because I trust you. Because I know you will be able to help me in ways others cannot.
Miss a hoping so, my lady.
Classic.
It's a classic.
Yeah. Classic.
And so, I'm sorry, but you're a king.
That's
for
so
that
good.
Alone.
Yeah. That's some class A trolling right there, honestly.
Yeah. Whether trolling or trolling reflexively, if that's a thing, well done. But his books, it were so just full of everything, and there's just so much knowledge and insight there. And I said I've read them. I've read most of them, but I've borrowed them. I don't own any of them, and I really want to because he was just
books are meant to be borrowed.
Yeah.
Well, or stolen.
That too.
He's impossible to beat in this area, and it's very sad. So all our best to his family and one with the Force. Sadly.
Absolutely. And sadly, that is news on the march.
Well, here's an awkward transition, but it's an awkward transition done with love, whatever the hell that means. We're going to charge back into Star Wars The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
Now, we're going to be discussing and celebrating the Kark and Criff out of this episode. So for new canon reveals, we have our canon. We have hot takes along the way. We'll sound the hot take alarm. But if anything really blew our minds, we'll let loose with a seismic mind charge. Now, this episode has only been out on Disney Plus for a few days, and we don't want to spoil you for any of it in case you haven't watched it yet. So be warned, we're about to get into severe spoiler territory. For good measure, we will sound the spoiler klaxon. That's right. It is me. It is Werner. I am sounding the spoiler klaxon. It's the only job I sometimes have on this show. I wonder if it's a planetary defense because of all of their stupid bits and meta story. They never involve me. I am a prolific filmmaker of films and documentaries. At one time, I threw myself into a cactus bush willingly, and I had all kinds of spokes and spikes sticking out of my rear end. What is that, Caitlin and Bush?
There's a clear order in which to watch Star Wars The Bad Batch, episode 15, and then listen to our podcast.
I want to build a baby all aboard my magical spoiler train. Woo, 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 woo.
Whoa, whoa.
Okay.
Woo.
Thank you. And here we go again. Punch it.
Good soldiers follow orders.
Cavalry has arrived!
Before we get into the new episode, it's time once again to play a lightning round of the game that has set the internet on fire,
continues,
ever since we first played it, and has continued to do so. That's right. Welcome back to What Did I Miss?
Yeah!
In our last... In our last... I'm just getting this out of the way right now.
Yes, please.
In our last episode... Matt asked if Project Warmantle, remember this has been said on Bad Batch and discussed on this show multiple times.
Yep.
You asked Matt if it was one of the projects that Jyn Erso lists off on Scarif in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Yes, I did.
You
I recall
asked
this.
That.
I recall this.
And you said you thinking with it, with the tone in your voice that said, I think that it was.
Yeah, I knew this. I was setting it up.
You felt it in your soul.
Yeah,
you knew this. You knew
in my soul, I knew this. I know this.
Yeah.
We noticed, we see this, we let us, we know, dear.
I knew this. Yeah.
You need this.
I need this, yeah. Right.
And I said it wasn't. I said it full on with full confidence, conviction, and authority.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're the fact checker. You're the gate.
It all goes through you.
Yeah. Come on.
Fact checker. What I have to remember off the top of my head.
Yes.
Because I've seen them all a million times. There's no fact checker. There is now. There is. We'll just say it depends on the week. Last week.
We learned lessons.
We don't know what the fact checker was. Fact checker was on vacation last week because this was bad. I mean, we've had some screw-ups before, but this was full-on bad.
This is
where you're
bad.
Like, this is a thing, right? And I'm like, no, absolutely not. No room for error. No room for argument. Guess what? I was wrong.
Project code names.
Stellar Sphere. Mark Omega. Pax Aurora.
War Mantle. Cluster Prism. Black Saber.
Well, and instead you talked a lot about scarves. You were going in a completely different direction. You know,
there's a lot of scarf talk.
There's a lot of scarf talk.
There's a lot of there was a whole Jyn Erso impression.
Thing. There was a
that
bit.
That I'm not going to do.
Yeah,
but look, there's no way around it. I was way wrong here. Not only was I wrong, but this question has come up on the podcast before.
Yeah, we've
on
talked
this
about
podcast.
This. Yeah, we talked about this.
We've talked about it before.
Yeah,
this
I
question
think
has
you
been
brought
asked.
It up. Yeah, I don't know. We're ridiculous.
And I just, I really have no excuse other than pandemic or Pobody's nerfics.
No,
I don't know.
No.
I just wasn't thinking. And when it comes to Jyn looking through the files of the Tarkin Initiative, I always remember Pax Aurora because it's my favorite.
You remember that one.
Yeah. I always remember that. I'm like, I'm going to use that somewhere for something. It's going to, that I swear is going to be an episode, a title of one of our podcast episodes someday.
Okay.
It's in my backlog. It's waiting to happen because I love that so much. I'm like, what's that?
Yeah.
Hyperspace tracking feeds into the others. We get
blah, blah, blah.
What's that?
Yeah.
But either way, Matt, you caught it.
Thank you.
And
all right.
You didn't
snaps
test
back.
Me on it. I didn't.
Yeah, but I didn't test probably, him. It was my fault too. You know, we're all to blame.
No, it wasn't. Because you didn't want to make the episode any longer than it already was. Yeah. Caitlin just conveniently stayed out of it and was just way over there by the bar.
Because she's an assassin.
But anyway, I was off. I was way off. I have no excuse. And you know who else caught it? Tons of our listeners.
Tons of listeners.
Let us know, including on Twitter, Darth Sixa, Luke Wentrobe, who pointed out pointed this out back in May when we first brought it up, when it was brought up in an earlier episode. So Luke, we weren't listening then apparently, but we are now. ready to get things wrong again. This is the Moochie Festo times 10 is what this is. Also Mark Becker and so many more.
Yeah.
And as Matt, as you tweeted, it's like, it's going to be a long week. And it was. But thankfully, it died down. Once it was clear, it's like,
We know.
We saw it. All crafts prepare to retreat.
We know.
I have failed you all. And to reiterate, I was wrong.
However. No, however. Just be wrong. Just stand there in your wrongness and be wrong and get used to it.
And that has been What Did I Miss? Let's get into the new episode. What do we say?
Yeah, there's stuff to talk about. What are you guys doing?
What am I, Caitlin? Because I'm about to say, okay, moving on.
Moving on.
Star Wars The Bad Batch, Season 1, Episode 15, directed by Nathaniel Villanueva, written by Matt Mikhnovitz. Title, Return to Kamino. And now the rains, dun, dun, dun. We pour their halls with not a soul to hear. Points to Matt, who once again, rightfully, has been calling it.
I mean, you're on a roll.
I'm on a roll, man. These past few episodes.
You've earned a cell. All right, that's.
Wait, you were about to say I earned it, and now you're taking it away.
You didn't even get it.
Okay, yeah.
But there's graciousness to be had in
victory. Sorry.
Anyway, points to you. You've been calling this for a while now. That we're going back to Kamino.
Mm-hmm.
And we are. Yes. I think you said the finale. This is one away from the finale, but still, it's real. It really is. And we're there for most of this episode for a pretty big reckoning. And so you were dead on about that.
Thank you very much.
You were really just right on about that. And I'm glad you were because I am and I'm not. Because I'm sure a lot of people thought this too.
Not because
I don't like admitting when you're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
But I'm always right.
It's because, we're back, but it's very bittersweet.
Yeah.
And what happens got me. I don't know about you both, but this episode was definitely a huge standout for me, probably of the entire series thus far. And there was one moment in it that was, for me anyway, very, very moving. And I didn't see it coming. It was done in such a way that it's akin to Ahsoka standing in the clone graveyard.
Yeah.
It's very end of Clone Wars season. Yeah. It gave me that kind of feeling.
I think I might have the same feeling. You probably know
what I'm talking about, I was kind of getting a little, when do we watch this show? At like 7 a.m. on Friday, I'm getting a little teary. And I didn't see it coming because it's just so much history Clone Wars history since 2008.
Yeah.
Memories are being conjured here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really powerful. And I just didn't see it coming. But we'll get to it. So, Crosshair. Sorry to our one listener who can no longer look at at the Crossfire car without hearing that.
You'll get caught up in it.
But you know what? You're going to get caught up in it. He's bringing Hunter somewhere in a shuttle, and he pings the batch as to the location on purpose. The rest of the batch are going to know it's a trap, but they're going to come to rescue him anyway. And so the Crosshair Hunter Games begin. The Olympics may have ended, but have they, though? Because some would argue this is the real Olympics. Caitlin Bush, would you agree?
These are the Olympics of my heart.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. Can't do better than that. Matt, don't even try. Cut to Ord Mantell, where we spend the rest of the episode. No, not really. Thank God. It was like, this better be a check-in and leave, and it was.
Yeah.
Omega is hot to rescue Hunter. They leave Gregor with Sid. And I thought, that must be interesting. There's some two-minute webisodes.
I want a bottle episode. That's just their entire time spent together.
Oh,
that's
all I want. Would be good.
Who do you think loses their temper first, Gregor or Sid?
Gregor, definitely, because Sid is having too much fun torturing him.
You think?
Yeah. Ooh, I think it's the opposite. I don't know.
What do you think Sid's nickname for Gregor is? Like, crazy?
Probably.
Crazy's good, yeah.
Hey, get over here, needs medication. Yeah. Hey, Looney. Hey, Looney Tune. Get over here. Look at my pearls. I left them on purpose, Looney Tune. Anyway, so the ship is repaired finally, and they get the intentionally sent ping from Hunter's Comm. Where is it coming from? Cut to Crosshair's shuttle pulls up at Tapaca City, Camino, as the big John Williams Camino riffs from Attack of the Clones are heard. Yeah. I thought this was cool, wasn't it? And one of the big, I forget what it's called, StarWars.com gave me the name. It's an Iwa or something. The big flappy water
flies past. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Do you like those, Caitlin? I don't know if they're big or monsters. They're really creatures, really.
They're monsters. They're monsters.
They're all monsters.
Yeah. Wow. Who isn't a monster?
They're all monsters. They're all monsters, and some of them are at work. Okay.
Oh, no.
Rampart meets them, and this is like, okay, Rampart, don't get in the way of the John Williams music, but he does. Yeah. This episode made me, okay, Rampart, you are officially on the list. You are officially on the list.
Officially now? He's been on the list the whole time. Come on.
He's been on your list the whole time?
Yeah. He's a flunky.
Yeah, he's a flunky. I thought we didn't like this guy. No.
He's absolutely a flunky, but he's not just a flunky. He is a prick.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, you don't make Vice Admiral in the Empire unless you are a prick. That's how that works. That's a class that they take.
You would know.
Okay. Hey.
Well, he meets them and he says that Hunter and his squad got his attention thanks to their actions on Ryloth. Rampart also makes it clear that he doesn't trust any clone, no matter who it is. Crosshair has his own plan going on here. We don't yet know what it is. Rampart also doesn't really know what it is, doesn't care. I think if he knew what it was, he wouldn't get in the way. But he's, you know, one way or another, it doesn't matter. He says if his plan fails, none of them will be a problem any longer. He's like, win, lose, or draw, we're going to be fine. Let's go to my den and have a freaking cigar and pour a cognac. Because I'm Rampart, and I'm a big part of the problem. Back to the batch. On the Marauder in hyperspace, Tech knows triggering the comm was intentional. They all know it's a trap.
Yeah.
And so the Empire wants them to go to Camino. Why? Unsure. Omega says, though, hey, I got a way to get... It's like, how are we going to get in on scene? I've got a special platform on Tapaca City so we can get in, pulling in there. Then it'll take us right to Nalase's lab, secret. Nobody knows about it. And they get low enough, and there's a hidden platform that activates and rises up.
It's very Incredibles, like in the first Incredibles movie when they have that tube underwater that just like goes around. Yeah. It's very like future-y, retro.
Not enough walking over water. No, Matt. Yes, Matt Romano.
Oh, and a big moment for Omega here. They all had to trust Omega. They're basically crashing the ship into the ocean.
Yeah.
And she's like, nope, just keep going. Just keep going. I got you.
Like
this moment. I got you.
And I'm watching this and I just thought, been there. But also notable is they also ask, where the hell is everybody? Because there's only three Imperial cruisers over the city. Nothing else is going on.
Yeah.
I mean, Caitlin Bush, when they said that and you saw that, did a flag of a certain color go off for you? Start waving?
Would it be a red flag, Brian?
Red flags here!
Were they for sale, Matt Romano?
Oh, they were for sale.
Big red flags!
For sale!
Red flags!
So they're like, okay, they get on this platform, but they're like, how are we going to get in? As Caitlin said, we'll use the tube system. It's just like in Batman Forever. It goes all the way from Wayne Tower, all the way under Gotham, all the way out to the Batcave. It's really convenient. This is cool. It goes under the Kaminoan water and goes kind of under the city to a different place. And it reminds me of Mon Calamari thing a little bit. And whoever knew this was here. The thing is, this little tube system, it's an underwater transit array, and it's not on any schematics. And Echo speaks for all of us where he says Kaminoans keep a lot of secrets. It's like, yeah, you think? So this tunnel goes, as I said, goes right to Nalase's private lab. But as they're on their way there, we cut to Crosshair and Hunter in the halls that are empty, save for just TKs that we met in the last episode. They've spread. Yeah. There are lots of TKs. There are no regs. There are no Kaminoans, no clones of any kind.
Where are all the regs? When did you start caring about them?
Hunter rightly says the place is being decommissioned, questions why Crosshair isn't concerned. And Crosshair's president is like, why should I be?
Because the Empire will be phasing out clones next.
And you're a clone, genius.
Yeah, but Crosshair's response is, get this, we're talking about entitled and elitist?
Not the ones that matter.
Shut up!
But you know what it is, guys?
What?
It must be the chip in his head that's tied.
Yeah,
right.
It must be the chip.
That's what
it's
about,
right?
It's the chip. It's the chip and the conditioning.
God. Yeah, it's
so
the chip.
He's still,
it's not his
he
fault.
He can be
no.
saved. It's the chip. No, the it's chip. Not.
It's not me. It's not me. It's the chip. No, I didn't do anything. No.
So now we're in the middle of a huge Hunter Crosshair dramatic reckoning that has been mostly left dormant since the... What do we call it? The Toxic Microaggression Festival that was the premiere. It's laying dormant for a lot of this show, but man, does this episode pick up like we never left off. The ESs with the elite squads, you know, still not over, you know, poor ES1, but the rest of them are still around. They come to say that the batch has come, and Crosshair says, yeah, they'll come to us. Don't worry about it.
Don't bother. They'll come to us. They don't leave their own behind most of the time.
And I'm like, and Hunter speaks for me here, has the perfect retort. He says, you tried to kill us.
Yeah,
we
dude.
We didn't have a choice.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
And I did.
And I'm just, what did you expect?
Yeah, turn the gun around, Crosshair. I mean, come on.
Again,
come on.
Get some therapy, man. Again, must be the chip, right? Cut back to Nala Se's lab. The Batch and Omega arrive. It's where Omega was created. And I thought the performance here from Omega was really good. Mm-hmm. The performance, the subtlety of the imagination, it was really good. Where she's realizing, though, she doesn't say it, but you can see it in her eyes. It's like, this is where I was born. It's like, this is where I was created.
Your mutations were enhanced in this room. Experimental Unit 99 began right here. I was there.
And this made me, like, the continued realization of the weird timeline of clones, wherein obviously Omega was like Boba and was not given any growth hormones. And then you have the batch. So technically, Omega is older than the rest of the batch.
Yeah.
She didn't say that they were created and then given the mutations here. She just said the mutations. So they could have been created and then given the mutations. But I like your theory more, Kate.
Yeah, that she was like a little girl watching the fetus versions of them in these.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, tubes. I like Caitlin. That's a very good point.
I'd rather get on board with that because her being older than them, yet them taking care of her is a fascinating dynamic for me. And also, all of Omega in this episode, because I really felt for her, because, this is where she was mostly held captive. She was an experiment, but until the batch, it was the only home she'd ever known. It was the only life she'd ever known. And the look on her face here is like, this is where I began. This is where you began. This is where all their stories began here.
Right. And now we're family.
Yeah, it's really powerful. And it's different. Every time it really differentiates the Omega story from Grogu, I really like, because that's at this point completely different. We still don't really know what the genesis of Grogu is or what happened or anything, but we know a lot more about Omega.
Yeah.
And it's just different. So for me anyway, it's different, and it'd be very easy to kind of retread and say it's retreading, but for me it's not. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Echo notes, he's like, the files have been wiped. There's nothing in the system. Someone approaches, and who is it? It's AZ. He's hiding. Not you. The actual droid that's canon. Mm-hmm. He's hiding. He tells them that the droids were all deactivated, so why stop at just getting rid of the clones and the Kaminoans? Deactivate the droids, too. They were all deactivated. Kaminoans were forced off, not by clones, he says, by other soldiers. All clone troopers were reassigned and transferred off-world with the exception of one. And that one was Crosshair. Tech finds where Hunter is. They grab AZ and they go. Cut to the central cloning platform. Hunter tries to get through to Crosshair. The Empire is doing bad stuff out there. Look, the Empire that you love so much, they're bad news bears. I've been out there. I've seen it. Crosshair says, you can't see the bigger picture, but they will. You can't see the bigger picture yet, but you're going to.
Shut up, Crosshair.
I'm like, dude, you know what? There's something coming. It's like, there's a part of the bigger picture that you, sir, are not going to like. Hunter says, can't you see they're using you? It's that inhibitor chip in your head. It's making you follow. And he's cut off. An alarm goes off before we can continue that conversation. There's an unauthorized entry right on schedule. The batch scopes TK troopers in the hallway. Tech realizes that they have Hunter where they have him in the main clone training room.
Yeah.
Now, they'll be waiting to pick them off in there, so they won't go in the main entrance because they'll be expecting that. We'll go up through the lift.
No one will see that coming.
Yeah, no, perfect entry.
Well, they're expecting that, so we'll do the unexpected. At this point, Crosshair is expecting the unexpected. So you got to expect the unexpected that's expected, but not unexpected that's expected. You got to know, but they don't know they know we know we know.
You got to come through the air ducts is what we're saying.
Yeah.
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 Do anything else. But this is thematically, I was like, I'd be like plan wise, strategically, yeah, bad call. But thematically, I said, awesome, because we're going to get another up through the floor entrance of clones. Omega gets told to stay behind again. If things go wrong, they'll signal her to go to the ship and immediately contact Rex. So up through the lift one more time, we get just like Domino Squad. Back in the Clone Wars, back like the Bad Batch in the premiere of this show, up through the floor into the clone training room.
It's a trap!
Surrounded at blaster point by Crosshair and his ES squad.
Immediately.
And he says, you won't need your weapons. So they drop their weapons.
After Hunter gives them the okay, he gives them like a little
nod. Yeah. That's true. Like, he's like, yeah, it's okay. Hunter's right there in cuffs, in binders.
Yeah.
And then Crosshair does, you gotta give it to him. He does have a pretty good line here. He says,
see, following orders isn't so difficult.
It's a good villain Crosshair line.
Yeah, I hate him. You gotta give it to him.
Yep.
Crosshair then asks about Omega. Wrecker tries to lie badly. It's not a gift he has.
Nope.
Crosshair tells the others to go find her. She gets the signal, she gets the emergency signal, like, 5 seconds after they go up. But does she go back to the ship of Comrex? Absolutely not. She has another idea. Hunter then continues the Crosshair conversation, and he says, so what? You're just going to bring us here and kill us? Crosshair says, no, if I wanted you dead, you would be. Not that it wouldn't be justified.
Yikes.
You betrayed everything we stood for. And for what? The Republic. Hunter counters. We're loyal to each other, not some empire.
You weren't loyal to me.
I was one of you. You may have forgotten, but I haven't. And it's why I'm going to give you what you never gave me. A chance. Omega now is almost ready to go through with her plan. ES3 finds her and comms Crosshair and says to send her on a shuttle off-world. He's not interested in Omega at all, which I thought was interesting. I thought he in some way would be after her, but he's not. He's just into the batch.
Get the child away.
Yeah. I don't think they see the value in Omega. The Empire definitely doesn't care. They don't care.
No, well, if they do, I mean, Crosshair doesn't care.
Yeah, it was the Kaminoans that wanted Omega.
That's very true. Yeah.
The Kaminoans' opinion doesn't matter anymore here.
That's right. There you go.
As far as we know, the Kaminoans' gone now. He says, look, it's for her own good. Living with fugitives in constant danger isn't good for her. And here's where Crosshair starts to make a little sense. He does it in the worst way, but he's not wrong. And I'm wondering what you think, because he says, you want to protect the kid, then let her go. Stop pretending to be something you're not, Hunter. We're not like the Regs. We never have been. We're superior. The Empire can't protect the galaxy without strength. This is what we were made for. Then he changes again, and this is what I didn't see coming.
Think of all we could do together.
He doesn't want to kill them. He doesn't want to hunt them and destroy them. He wants the band back together, but
join
to turn
me.
Them to his party.
Yeah, where have I seen this before?
Exactly.
Where, is this something?
It's kind of familiar.
It's kind of familiar, right?
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. It's like a poor man's, poor clone's version of an Anakin Darth Vader bargain, isn't it, Caitlin Bush?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. That's the first thought that I had watching this.
Yeah. Matt Romano, same?
It's a classic Vader bargain. You know, either it's like, you know, Anakin to Ahsoka or, you know, Darth Vader to Luke. You know,
it's
Vader's got this on lock, pretty much.
Vader's got this on lock.
Anakin to Padme, Anakin to Ahsoka, Anakin to fill
Anakin
in the
to
blank
Obi-Wan.
He gives it to everybody.
Anakin to Meeber Gascon,
Anakin just
to
wants
Tandito.
To have friends around as well.
Yeah, Anakin
exactly.
to Sana Staris. Yeah, which is, speaking of friends... I get it's like friends, brothers. I think that's really what Crosshair wants here. I think Crosshair misses his brothers, misses his friends, because we know the Empire ain't filling that void. He had that moment where he sat in their old barracks and said,
I mean, yeah, but screw him, too. I don't care about his feelings.
I mean, that's an excellent point, Caitlin Bush. I agree with you completely. But I think it's not only about power and dominance. I think part of him really does miss them. And it's like, yeah, super galactic power is better when all of your friends are there with you.
It's true.
Do you think, Matt Romano, any thoughts on that?
He really thinks they're going to join him in the Empire? I mean,
yes, he does. That's the delusion.
That's delusion.
Some part in him thinks he's got a fighting chance here. And at no point, I like that, at no point are any of the other four of the batch even for a second entertaining this.
Yeah.
They do something that I didn't think they'd do, but they're not going to join him and be in the glorious Empire and for all that. Because what they're not saying is, look, they're trying to skirt around saying everything you believe is freaking bullcriff.
Yeah.
It's like it's fascism, the Empire, dude. It's like it's fake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And so this is not what I was expecting from Crosshair in this moment. As friend of the show, Leah pointed out, it almost turns into a moment from Wicked. I didn't expect it to, but I do think it's wonderful.
I call it wonderful.
Yeah. So they said wonderful.
It's zero surprise
if you insist. See, it's not the song you thought
it's,
I was going to
no,
say.
No, it's zero surprise that that's the song that I thought you were going to pick.
Well, because you
that
know
that's
I want
the
to play
character
that, role.
That yeah.
You know I want to play that role.
I know.
What other role in that show am I ever going to play? I'm never going to play that role either.
Obviously.
The witch.
Okay. This is welcome to Rolls Brian Wants to Do the Pod.
Which
all
you
of them.
Like
the
to
end.
Live deliciously is really what the question is.
Better person lettuce that all right, but it wasn't cried because I caught him in the autumn in my garden one night.
I understood that reference.
Anyway, so back to action. While this talk has been happening, Hunter has been unshackled. Crosshair goes and takes the binders off. The other batch members also notice. They're like, hey, look at the frickin' wall over there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, and they see Crosshair's signature bolt reflecting pads are on the walls. And it's also, and Hunter says, after he goes through all of that thing, we were brothers once, we can be again. They're noticing this. Hunter's all of a sudden unbound. Hunter says, why would we trust you? And Crosshair tells the ESs to stand down. His main people, his new squad.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, stand down. They refuse, so he shoots at one of the marks on the wall. One shot hits the marks. Bing, 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 bing,
bing. Kills all of them.
Yeah.
All of them dead. One shot. And he says, does that answer your question? And you got to admit,
it's
that's pretty cool.
It's cool.
It's awesome.
It's cool.
It's badass.
Look, we don't know what it is. We don't know what it could be. We do know that it's cool.
I mean, we haven't used a mind blown yet. I mean, this is kind of a mind blown moment.
It's coming. I'm saving it.
Save it? Okay.
If you want to do one, do it.
I mean, we can have multiple mind blown.
Okay, let's do it. I think we should do it. I mean, there's been a few.
Was your mind blown by this moment?
My mind was blown.
Then sound the motherfucker.
Wow. There
beautiful.
Oh, it is beautiful.
There we go.
We should use it more often.
So after he says it, well, I'm trying to be nice. It's been a slow burn.
Yeah,
it's been a very slow burn.
But this was a cool moment.
Look, in terms of Star Wars animated shows in their first seasons, you got to adjust. You got to tune up and get your bearings. And
I think the
momentum of this is very similar to what Rebels was.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat similar to Clone Wars was different because it had that movie. And I'd say it's ahead of Resistance. So
I mean, yeah.
It's don't follow through.
I didn't say anything.
You disparage my old Resistance there.
All right.
And then
Caitlin M. Bush, what were you gonna say?
No, I'm just saying. And then I know that the mind blown. I know exactly what you're talking about for the next.
Yeah, we're getting there, I guess.
AZ manages to knock out the ES who's given Omega trouble. She puts her plan in motion, and her plan. We'll find out, but she's right next to the droid controls and she's right below the clone training room. So I think we probably know what's happening. Crosshair says, you are all meant for more than drifting through the galaxy. It's time to stop running. Join the Empire and you will have purpose again. And again, I'm thinking, again, it's another Anakin play. Hunter says, you really don't get who we are, do you? Crosshair says, don't make the same mistake twice. Don't become my enemy. And Hunter takes checkmate.
Crosshair, we never were.
Alarm goes off, and up come droids. Omega has triggered the droids. And it's, remember, last time we were here, they were set to lethal, thanks to Tarkin. So these are the bigger ones that we saw in the premiere. Omega has activated them, and she's activated a few too many. The batch starts shooting. Omega is also up with them now, and she bows up and starts shooting. Hunter and Crosshair start fighting hand to hand, but then they start helping each other and are defending from the droids. And then, there is a utterly glorious sequence, and it's the full batch, all five, plus Omega, together again, fighting droids, and their theme kicks in full. And what a great moment, because we barely heard their theme at all since the premiere. We heard it in the premiere. I didn't even realize.
They haven't been together.
Yeah. It's like it takes all five. Yep. It does. It takes all five members, or else we're not going to play the theme. And I didn't realize it until it happened. I'm like, we haven't heard that theme since the show started. And also, I'm like, damn, the five of them together are amazing.
Yeah,
it's like the final people. Say what you want. Yeah, deluded, dumb, like brainwashed. Everything. Crosshair has problems, but he, I believe, he's a necessary part of the batch. You don't have the batch without him. What are your thoughts on this? Wasn't it great to get all five?
Oh, the
full five.
Oh, yeah. You get that 5-point stance, you know, the team, everybody's shooting a different direction. Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, love it.
It's just
love
seamless. It's like Wrecker throws one, then a shot from Crosshair, then it goes a knife from Hunter, then Tech is like doing some kind of tech thing, scomping from Echo, you know, boom, boom, boom. It's like seamless.
Just like
they've
that.
Been doing that forever. It's like, it's like he never left. It's like he never left to go and join the neo-Nazis. Caitlin Bush thoughts.
It's really good, but Crosshair is still a dick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
again,
that's a good take.
That is an excellent point.
Yeah. Yep.
That is an excellent point. I'm not refuting that. He's Crosshair, still a dick.
Yeah.
Still very much a dick. But he's there.
As we continue
dick.
To learn, he's an even bigger dick than we originally thought he was.
Yep.
In some ways, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Well, no, we'll get to the moment here in a little bit.
But anyway, this is a mind blown for me. Mind blown. Because this is a thing where I didn't know what was missing until it happened. And I think it's true for them, too. You can see, like, the kind of joy of being their true unit again, doing, with fighting droids back in this room where they trained to do it for how long?
Right.
This is the closest to coming back home and the most familiar they've been after a long time being completely out of water and out of the rain. And, you know, with Sid and doing this weird stuff. This is what they know. Mm-hmm. Five guys in this clone training room shooting up droids, the five of them together.
Doesn't get better
than
that.
This is what they know. No. It doesn't get better than that. Any other thoughts on this? Because, I mean, we should move on because I could talk about this one.
We should move on because there's still stuff.
Absolutely. I agree completely, Caitlin Bush. We should move on. There's one ES left. It leaves to go tell Rampart what happened. And it pretty much tell him the commander, Crosshair, lost control of the situation. Rampart over the comm says, pull everyone out. Let the clones die together. He's pulling out all the TKs. Anything he cares about, pull him back. Bring him back to the ship. The batch keeps at it as the lone ES left there leaves on a shuttle. Rampart gets Tarkin on the holodeck. Been a while since we saw Tarkin, again played by Steven Stanton, and says, look, everyone necessary is off. Anyone that we even remotely need or care about, they're off. The chief scientist also is secured, which you know Nala Se has already been secured.
The cloning technology is now firmly under Imperial control.
So they don't need this facility anymore. They have the technology. Ooh, ooh, and as you pointed out, Caitlin Bush, from Dr. Pershing in Mandalorian, wearing that insignia, the clone experiments keep going. They just no longer need them on the sea in the rain.
Well, but here's the thing. They need them. They're just stupid. They should have kept the Kaminoans around.
Yes. They would have got to, quote unquote, absolutely. Need them.
Yeah, they don't, quote, need them. Yeah.
But they're
like,
look, this cloning technology is necessary. It's also going to be necessary for a lot of Palpatine's plans that involve cloning. If he wants to make a Snoke, you know, down the line.
Yeah.
And we are, this is, he, I feel like this is a Palpatine directive. It's like, okay, yes, get rid of the Kaminoans, but take the scientists and anything useful and make sure we can still do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but
Without their politics and their meddling. And
Without that. Yeah. We need the one and the technology we have. So they have that. That's now under Imperial control. Mm. So what's left? What's left that they need here on this stilt platform in the sea, in the rain? Nothing. So Tarkin says, "Very good, Admiral," and gives us, for old time's sake,
"You may fire when ready."
And this is theoretically, I believe, one of the first times in canon we hear him, because he says it in Rogue One, and we know he says it in A New Hope.
Yeah.
He's the very first Star Wars thing ever. So anytime
but in the
we
timeline.
Get a, yeah, timeline-wise, I'm like, is this his first one? And he, after that, he's like, I like the way that sounds. I'm going to use that again.
All the time.
I shall get it tattooed on my buttocks. Now, Rampart moves his destroyer into position over to Paka City. Meanwhile, the Batch, all droids are down. Crosshair touches his head, turns, and Hunter has him at blaster point. He's touching his head, and I'm thinking, I'm getting flashbacks to remember Wrecker and the headaches.
Yeah.
It's how life feels like. Feels like another life. And I'm thinking, here's we're going to get it.
Forget the Empire. This isn't you. It's your inhibitor chip.
We can help you. Crosshair says, wrong.
I had my chip removed a long time ago.
Mind blown.
Caitlin, you sounding a mind blown.
Yes.
Found it.
Yeah.
He's been a dick all along. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
He did this of his own volition.
Right.
What?
It's like, what happens in the back and forth of are they going to take it out? Are they going to help? Whatever. What if he already had it out? And it had been floated, but when he said it's been out and it's been out for a while. This is just me. Oh, anything more to add on that, Caitlin Bush?
That is going to hurt the team so badly, knowing that it was their brother's choice to betray them. Like, sucks.
Exactly, because the ultra conditioning he had, that seemed to affect the chip in the premiere. You take that out, that ultra conditioning is gone too.
Yeah.
I would think. So he's
I feel like they're going to explain more of that in the finale of the timeline there, I would hope, but.
I also don't think Crosshair's going anywhere. I think he's going to be doing a second season. He's going to be in a second season, whether he's with them or not. Hunter really says, talking about the chip, Hunter says, since when? And Crosshair asks, does it matter? And Hunter speaks for all of us when he says, yes. And then Crosshair just says, this is who I am. Crosshair goes to raise his blaster, but Hunter is quicker, stuns him, and Crosshair goes down. So Crosshair, true believer, but this includes him believing that the Empire will not betray him, say, won't do something like fire on a base that he's currently inside.
With the goal of killing him and all of his brothers.
Right. Yeah. It's like because the thing is, he's expendable now. And will his thinking change when he realizes that the Empire has no further need for him? So they'll do what they always do when someone is of no further use, just get rid of them. You've served a purpose. That purpose is done. We get rid of you now. It's what the Empire does, because that's what Palpatine does. From Maul to Dooku to the Separatists to Vader to Geonosis. Just get rid of the entire planet.
Yep.
We have what we need, and on. Right here, it's like, whatever the hell we needed Crosshair for is done. Whatever cloning is for is done. We got their technology. We got their doctor. We don't need that idiot who's a true believer. Who cares? And we're already going with the TKs because of Warmantle, which is mentioned in Rogue One. So time to give him the old Geonosian treatment.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And Hunter apologizes to Omega. He says he's never, he said he had told her she'd never have to come back here. And he checks Crosshair's head as Tech says, three Venators are descending on the city, three cruisers. Hunter has one of them grab Crosshair, says he's coming with them. We're not leaving him behind this time. And they all run out all together. And I'm glad that they grabbed him.
Yeah.
Because I want to see his reaction when he finds out the Empire opened fire, like has discarded him.
Yeah.
He says, guys, Rampart, it's me. It's Crosshair, your old pal. And they're like, yeah, who? It's
screw you.
We don't care. It's like, also, we're going to kill it doesn't matter. So they're grabbing Crosshair, Omega, and they're all running out and all together. And here's the moment. Here's the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to just shots, static shots as they're running and as the Venators prepare to fire. Shots of the empty facility, empty mess hall, empty cloning chamber, empty barracks, just lightning and rain over the platforms, empty chairs at empty tables. And this, for me, is the best moment of the entire show thus far. Because the most moving, the thing I alluded to at the start of this segment, this is it. Because think back to the first seeing this place in Attack of the Clones, but then in the Clone Wars, in episodes like Clone Cadets and ARC Troopers, these halls full of brothers, of these clone brothers that were a family and would die for each other and had no other purpose that they knew of. And now they're the way, it's like seeing a deserted Jedi temple, except almost even more tragic because these guys didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. And now it's just empty. It's all bare. No more brothers, no more camaraderie, no more merriment. And what a waste, right?
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of one of Ezra's lines in the Rebels episode, The Last Battle, where he's talking to Kalani and Rex. If you didn't win and you didn't win, then who did? And it's something about them running out and just the static shots of the empty halls and the empty barracks that really made me tear up. And it's not what they usually do on this show. It was a very artsy way of doing it, and it just made me remember everything we've been through with clones since the animation started in 2008. It was very, very powerful for me. So for me, that's a very sad, mind blown in terms of that, because I thought that was just heart ripping but gorgeous. Any thoughts on that sequence, Caitlin Bush?
I mean, I'm happy that you brought up that quote, because I mean, Palpatine won. He did exactly everything that he wanted to happen happened, and this is the result of that. These beings that he manipulated into existing in the first place are now being destroyed by his own hand because he has no more use for them, or the space that created them in the first place.
Yeah,
my instant super duper Jedi killers have already fought their fake war. They've done Order 66. I decided I'm not going to use them. I'm going to use these knockoff TKs. Mm-hmm. So expendable, just like everything else. Sure. Thoughts, Matt Romano?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that like going all the way back to 2008 with the Clone Wars, but going all the way back to Attack of the Clones and like, and even beyond before Attack of the Clones, like when Obi-Wan first mentions the Clone Wars and A New Hope, it's just like, this is kind of such a big piece of Star Wars. When you first saw Attack of the Clones, you never thought you would have gotten this much Kamino, right? You wouldn't have gotten this attached to Kamino after seeing Attack of the Clones. And we've just come such a long way that, this was a crazy powerful moment and one of the best destructions of a base in Star Wars history.
Like, heart-wrenching, but satisfying to watch at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Good way to put it. It's like very mixed, because that's a good way to put it. Caitlin, it's also a good way to put it, Matt, in that it's really how we've gotten attached. And I'm like, we've said this before, when we first watched Attack of the Clones, this place is freaking weird.
Right.
The weird doors, the weird long neck dudes.
It's raining all the time. There's these monsters flying everywhere.
The ladle chairs. I'm like, what is this? It's all really pristine and new and not dirty garbage like Star Wars usually is.
Right.
Like, what is this damn place? It's like something out of a different movie. But cut to that, the events of that, Revenge of the Sith, and then the entire Clone Wars series. And you're right. We've become weirdly attached to this place that's identifiable with it. I don't think it's definitely not a coincidence they played that little musical riff at the beginning.
Definitely.
It's like,
no.
Remember how long you've been with this place?
This is the finale
For people
Kamino.
That grew up with the prequels also, this is something huge. For people like me that were a little older and watched the prequels, it's just, we've been with this for a while. Yeah. And so even back then, we're like, what the hell is this? You're right in thinking, there will never come a point where we're close to tears over this destruction of this random ass place where Obi-Wan just went. And they're talking about Sifo Dyas. What? I don't know. Yet here we are.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And you're right, Matt. And it's just a basis destruction, because what happens next? Rampart has the three cruisers open fire. The three destroyers start firing onto Poca City as the rain continues to fall. And the rain, it raineth every day. Mm-hmm. And the batch can't get out. The firing continues. A huge part of the city just falls into the sea. The score is amazing, and I am sad, yet satisfied at the same time. I am Satisfied?
Satisfied. Wow, did you just make that up? That's good.
I did just now. That's not even in my notes. And I hate myself a little bit.
Huh. You were satisfied.
I'm not mad about it, weirdly.
Yeah, neither am I.
Well, that is the biggest success I've had in a long time. And you know it's a special episode of Star Wars Animation where the music over the credits is not the usual track. It's different. And it's different this time, too.
Yep.
And it fits the mood perfectly. And now the rains. We pour their holes with not a soul to hear.
Wow,
and that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. And that's it for Topoka City.
Okay.
Thoughts on the episode on the whole, Caitlin Bush?
Very good. I think it's one of the ones that I have enjoyed most in a while. And then to end on this very intensive cliffhanger. Obviously, we know that we're getting a season two. So my assumption is that not the entirety of the Bad Batch dies. but I'm interested to see this. I guess it's Monday now when we're recording. So as of Friday morning, how will we all be feeling?
Yeah.
You bring up an interesting point that's making me think a little bit, and I want to get the old Matt Romano take on this. Okay, I don't think any of the Batch are going to die. I think all five are going to live. But let's say one of them was to die. Which one do you think it would be?
I've got a bad feeling about
it. Quiet.
What?
The most interesting character in light of this episode to die would probably be Hunter.
I was going to say that too.
Yeah.
I kind of think so too.
Yeah. And it's sad because, well, one, you don't often see characters that are redeemed in Star Wars have a future. You know, maybe Callus from Rebels, but, you know, you think Darth Vader, you think Kylo Ren, they redeem themselves and then they die.
Yes.
Callus is a good point in that whole arc. I also think Ventress had a similar arc.
Yes. Yeah. Ventress. Yep.
And I think in terms of are you going with a Crosshair could have a similar arc there? Because I don't think Crosshair's arc is nowhere near done. They're fascinating places they could go with it.
No, exactly. And like you said, Brian, like in light of him knowing that the Empire just tried to kill him. You know, how does he kind of get back on the path to redemption, and seeing him deal with that and having to process that and becoming a good person is a really interesting place to go.
And Hunter's death at the hands of the Empire would really not only trigger that in him, that guilt and mourn him, it would like that's not going to sit well with the other brothers knowing that you were directly or indirectly responsible for our leader's death.
Yeah.
And Omega would not look kindly on him either, but he's there to stay. That is some drama.
Oh, yeah.
And Hunter has arguably had the biggest growth this season as well. His whole father figure awakening moment. And we have that line from Crosshair in this episode where he says, he basically taunts him and says, this is, you know, you're trying to be something that you're not. Well, what if that is who Hunter is? What if he is a father figure? And then that would be narratively a really ideal time to kill him.
And if I can add for next season, if Hunter was gone, you set up this kind of like awesome Arya and the Hounds Game of Thrones relationship between Omega and Crosshair.
Yeah.
And like, you know, them kind of both learning from each other, one to be ruthless, one to be good, you know, that's a very interesting dynamic.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Oh, sound the hot take alarm. Oh, man. Matt, you just, I just peed a little bit. I love that so much. Oh, man. You said Arya. Yeah. And I'm like, so because Omega and Crosshair have had not a lot, except for the premiere. It's like, it's not your fault. Oh, yeah. More of those two, especially after Hunter goes down and she's pissed off at him. Oh, that is ripe for drama.
It's juicy. It's good.
Caitlin, I'm sorry. I think in my excitement, I cut you off a little bit.
No, I think it's freaking fantastic. And I love the idea of Omega also feeling the need to take up the mantle of her quote unquote father.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't learning how to twist that knife.
She
learned
to twist it. And arguably she watches all of them, but she has grown the most attached to Hunter. She has watched him the most.
Oh.
And he is the person who she will probably try to emulate herself after, especially if he dies to honor him.
That is
and
good.
And Matt, you know what, that's where, you know what she's going to get if that happens?
What's she going to get?
That's how she's going to get a helmet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because Crosshair's going to be like, why do you not have a helmet? This is crazy.
He's going to take Hunter's
helmet. She's going to take Hunter's helmet.
Oh, no, wait. I didn't.
Hunter's
I can't talk.
Hunter's helmet. and Hunter's knife, and they will tech will help her adapt Hunter's armor and make a version of it for her with a slot for her bow and Hunter's weapons and everything.
And it's actually really accurate that she carries a bow and would possibly take up the name of Hunter.
Yep. Oh. Because you know what else she's going to take? His bandana.
Yeah.
And she now wears his bandana for the rest of the show.
Wow.
Guys. I'm so upset right now.
This is honestly, none of this was in my head before we started.
No, we came here.
This is a journey.
Yeah, we arrived, and this, it's not like I don't want Hunter to die.
No,
I love Hunter.
No,
but
he's my favorite character.
This would be a very effective way of doing it, because I feel like all of the other clones have learning to do and growth to do. It's like none of their deaths would have the same impact.
Yeah. Unless it was Gonky.
Well, then that's the whole thing is over.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I don't think
that,
I can watch season 2 if Gonky dies.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sound that hot take alarm one more time, because this is some hot, hot, hot.
If we're right, I'm going to, I don't know.
You know, if we're right, we're not recording a finale. This is it.
Yeah.
If
we're right, I'm going to run topless down my street.
let's hope that's right. Yeah.
You're welcome, neighborhood. With that, we're going to go to break, but we're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you? Don't turn us off.
Hi there. You're on with Brent Ziff, and I am living Brent-free in your head.
From Gideon Media, the company that brought you Steal the Stars and Give Me Away.
God, so many suitors. How shall I choose? Who shall escort me to the ball?
Brent Ziff is a call-in radio host at the top of his game.
I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Leo Short has nothing.
Because here's the thing, Brent. I'm not funny. I'm not interesting. I don't look like much of anything.
You amaze me. How about I ask you something, man to man?
Okay.
Are you calling me from the shitter?
Yeah, but that's not what's important.
I knew it!
But tonight, all of that is about to change.
Okay, wait, that's... Did any of you...
Because tonight, Leo Short is calling with a message.
Okay, it's gonna sound funny, but it's not funny.
What the hell is this, man? What are you telling me right now?
That will put everything Brent knows on shaky ground.
I feel the earth, Brent. I feel it deep inside me. When it moves, I move. I move with the earth. I feel the earth.
Gideon Media presents a 2-part real-time dark comedy from Mac Rogers.
When does it stop?
I mean, it's not.
This is gonna keep happening?
The Earth Moves, by Mac Rogers, directed by Jordana Williams.
Nothing's more natural than pain.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Return of the Pod, a podcast about Star Wars. May the Force be with you. And as always, many boats.
We're back, and now it's time for some galactic points of interest.
Good news has come to the citizens of Lothal.
In comics news from Marvel, on August 11th, there will be Star Wars The High Republic number 8. And going by the cover, a certain Jedi Wayseeker that we've already met in one of the books will appear. And I'm very excited for that to happen. Solo 2, unofficially happening still in the regular line of the comics as War of the Bounty Hunters continues. They're making Solo 2 happen without making Solo. Tell me Solo 2's happening
without telling me.
Solo 2 happen.
So I'm not reading War of the Bounty Hunters yet, because sometimes I like to wait until the run is done and I can watch. I can read it in all one collective.
I'm very similar, Matt.
You know, run.
Yeah. They're going to do one hell of a trade with all these interconnected things.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. But should I be concerned that they were making Solo 2 happen in these comic books and I'm not going to get Solo 2?
No, because the journey of Solo 2, I still think whatever the Lando show is going to have that in it. Mm. I'm really kind of exaggerating a little bit. They're picking up on some story strands that were left dead. Yes, I've been known to do it. And certain characters and organizations. It's not like Alden Ehrenreich is digitally pops up as a hollow in the comic.
Oh, okay, so thank God.
Even though I don't think Solo 2 is going to happen, I think this is a way of, those story threads were left dangling. we're going to pick them up a little bit, a little here. Lando show will pick some up over there in terms of the actors or whatever. It's, I think it's, you know, doing both. Okay. I'd be surprised if Solo 2, a two Star Wars 2 story actually happens. I would be surprised.
Just want to be clear. I mean, I know.
No, I'd love nothing more, but I don't see it happening, unfortunately. But listener Brian Davis tweeted us a comic mind blown for what they're doing in Bounty, or rather what they did in the latest issue of Bounty Hunters. So, Brian Davis, let's give you a mind blown.
Oh, they were just firing it left and right there.
A lot of mind blowns.
The man requested a comic. He didn't require a mic. He said he was having one, so I figured would make it official.
He gets it. Yeah.
Next up, we got some prices for Galactic Star Cruiser in terms of Galaxy's Edge. And I don't know about you, but I couldn't not think of, once again, the lawyer from Jurassic Park who's like, sure, and they will. We'll have a coupon day or something.
Because
Matt, hit us with some of these... Caitlin, you want to say?
No, I can feel my student... I could hear my student loans screaming at me.
I can't wait to make a reservation. Let me just check my cache of gold bricks.
I think
I have about 2,000 bricks, and that's equal... I got about, you know, a couple grand to just spend on a hotel. Matt, what are some of the prices here?
Well, here's the thing, guys. If we want to go, we're going to have to sell a lot more fanny packs at returnofthepod.store. So please log on, buy a fanny pack, and maybe
look at that merchandising.
Merchandising. Matt, Galactic Star Cruiser was not only made to cater to the filthy rich. Every fan in the world has the right to enjoy this hotel.
Let me get to the prices. We haven't even talked about the prices. Okay, so as you can tell from our banter here, it's very expensive. Okay.
It's a chunk of change.
He only released a little amount of information, so there isn't like full details on pricing, but what they're saying is starting from two guests per cabin is about $1,200 per night. Or
per person, right?
Per person.
And this doesn't include food. This doesn't include just staying at the hotel.
This is just staying at the hotel. And it's very not clear. Yeah. I mean, and for the full voyage for two guests, I don't know if this is per person. I guess it's per person. $4,809. I mean, let alone if that's just one person.
And specifically, the part that was weird for me is it has to be paid in cash.
No, you need Moncal credits, I believe.
Calamari flan or crumpled ones from the corner deli.
But then there's also three guests per cabin, two adults, one child. That's $889 per night. You know, the price goes down because I guess three more people in a room.
If you leave the child behind, you get a discount.
Yes. They become part of the show. They become a Jawa. Yeah.
Talk about a Disney baby turning into a Disney adult.
Oh, your child is now an Ugnaught. Welcome. Anyway.
This is, you know what? We've all got so much Star Wars crap, and I have a bed. I just, you know, it looked like the designs are cool, right? They look cool.
Yeah. We can make some cash. We can create our own.
Matt, you can come over. You can sleep in the bed. I can make my, it doesn't look like there are windows. It just looks like there's a screen that shows space. Yeah. I got a TV I'll put in the window and make you feel like you're in space. Caitlin will make some food. You sleep in the bed. I'll bust in with Wookiee sounds in the middle of the night.
Matt will make some spotchka cocktails.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what this experience would cost you? But you know what you'd pay for this experience, Matt?
What's that? What?
No more than $500. Like, it's
good
cheaper.
Take a trip to New York City.
Free. For you, Matt Romano, to come over, I'll give you a Star Wars hotel at my house.
Okay.
And you know what?
I think I get it.
Do you? No. Because the next day, we land at a place called New York City. We get to go to Build-A-Bear and make Grogu in a fireman outfit.
Now I'm sold. Now you got me. So anyway, and four guests per cabin for $6,000 total voyage.
$16,580,009 trillion.
Anyway, so it's expensive.
So
be rich. and enjoy that, I guess.
Yep. Have fun.
You know what they should have? They should have like a Jakku trading post where you can go and trade in your stuff for tickets to the Galactic Star Cruiser.
Yeah.
Like, I could show up and be like, here's a C-3PO tape dispenser. And now you
can. How much is this worth?
Me is 1/4 ticket.
Yeah.
And it's like what you've brought me is worthless.
Exactly.
Okay, I think the Jakku trading post for tickets is caused more problems.
Okay. But you know.
But yeah. Anything else on prices, Matt Romano?
I don't know. I think that's all I got.
Other than, that's a lot.
There's a whole political party started. Galactic Star Cruiser tickets too damn high. Oh, good Lord. It's time to turn it over to the Jedi Master for our next segment.
This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and now it's time for Caitlin's Word of the Week.
The word of the week is Camino.
Good job, Caitlin. She seems to be on top of things.
Well, what do you know?
Good. That is
entire
good.
Place went down into the sea.
I was just thinking, what if the Galactic Star shame. Cruiser hits an iceberg and you get like a Titanic situation? Do they have enough lifeboats on the Galactic Star Cruiser?
I was about to say, you know, Matt, it's not an actual ship, but I'd rather run with it's. You know, you're not actually going to be in space.
What?
But
why money? Are the prices so high?
I'd rather run with the bit. I'd rather run with the bit. It's like very true. What if there's an attack?
Yeah.
We're in space constantly, and look what happens to us.
Yeah.
It's all dangerous. Bad things.
All kinds of convoluted crap. That's going to take us to real talk.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
Camino saber dart. You won't find one except at the bottom of the sea.
Oh, man.
You'll find it at the bottom with Davy Jones' locker.
Okay, on Twitter, a hello to listener Nathan Ludwig, who drew up some fan art of an actual concert poster for... Matt, give it to me.
Redlands!
There it
and
is.
Monster trucks.
Oh, is that how you're going to do it? Now?
It's the end of the all show, right. You know?
No, I think it's
it
great.
The poster features Ray Snoodles, but it made me laugh. But that's not all. Matt, tell us about some other fan art that you've been getting on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, first of all, apologies. You know, we to anyone that we haven't gotten back to in the DMs, you know, we get a ton of messages and we try to keep up on it. And sometimes we just fall a little behind. And recently we fell behind and we just have like a backlog of all this awesome fan art. Yeah, and it's incredible. And you guys all take the time to do it. And we love it and appreciate it so much. And just want to give a shout out to a few others that we got, which you can check on our Instagram by the time you're listening to this. They will all be there. But Garrett Tucker on Instagram, at BCIM Garrett, he gave us some Return of the Pod logos in Minecraft, which is kind of incredible. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but you can like construct images, you know, in Minecraft with the blocks. It apparently takes a super long time. It's hard. And this guy did such an amazing job. So shout out to Garrett. Thank you so much for doing that. Let us know if you do any more, because I'd like to see Brian in Minecraft. You know, maybe we can make a Brian.
Oh, my God. Yes.
No?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Moving on. And then we got Ace Parker on Facebook.
You kind of want it and you don't. The more I think about it, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
who doesn't want to be who doesn't want to be a legend?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Ace Parker.
Yes, Ace Parker on Facebook, on our Facebook page, he dropped us this awesome image of the Porg and Dagger logo.
I just saw this before we started. I hadn't awesome. Seen it.
I want this on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So do I.
Yeah.
I want it on a sign. It's like Prancing Pony level good.
No, it's amazing. And, you know, we'll definitely have some more information on our merchandising future very soon. But believe me, Ace, this is a great logo. And
this is gorgeous.
Thank you for making this.
Ace is the place for awesome fan art.
I am honored and my bar is honored.
And last but not least, Nick Bones on Instagram, at Nick Bones Tattoos. He gave us another amazing reimagining of Azu from what he believes Azu would look like. And he imagines Azu is wearing glasses and has hair.
And like a dorky, like a haircut from a nerd from
hipster.
A classic 80s movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
The turnaround from the community on Azu
is fascinating.
He's the best thing.
He's the least popular of the droids, no offense, as that we've had, I think, but he gets the most attention.
Yeah. None of the droids from the old show ever got fan art except
once.
That's
what I'm saying, is that everyone was hating on him in the beginning, but now there's just all this love for him.
That's what I'm talking about. Turnaround. I've never seen hate grow to love so fast since I first met Matt. It's crazy.
Right. Love to hate.
Right. Yeah.
And back again, and then back again, and then backwards and forwards. It always goes, doesn't it? Well, also on Twitter, listener Jesse Herrera asked if we heard the Star Wars reference in F9, meaning Fast and the Furious, F9, the Fast Saga. Oh. And I did, though I only remembered that there was one after reading your tweet. I completely forgot that there was a reference.
Yes.
I believe made by Charlize Theron's character in that movie, made by Cypher. Caitlin, I know you saw the movie. Matt, you see F9?
No.
Oh, it's a lot of...
It's a Fast and Furious movie.
Let me ask you a question. Do you like your movies with a lot of movie in them?
I like them very furious and very fast.
F9 was, quite frankly, the most movie to ever movie.
Okay, like, I have to see it.
It's accurate. And I, at one point, I'm screaming, I was kidding at the screen in terms of where someone like about a year ago said, where do you think the franchise will go?
Space.
And I gave an answer and I was like, I was kidding. And now it's like, well, the other thing I said was Narnia or Middle Earth.
Oh,
and
that's
now
I'm coming.
Like, could totally happen. Yeah, yeah. Now it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
Vin Diesel goes to the wardrobe. And he's like, hey, are you my family?
I'm Vin Diesel.
Are you my family?
You know what goes well?
He goes up to Mr. Tumnus and he's like, you want to be part of my family?
Yeah, you're my family.
This is also the Narnia, Dr. Seuss, Fast Saga merging that I never knew I needed called Are You My Family? Also on Apple Podcasts, a hello and thank you to BKD0415, as well as A Keyboard Smash, for your kind words, as well as regular listener Ahsoka for Life, who, true to their name, wants and believes Ahsoka will show up at the end of the Bad Batch season to recruit the Bad Batch. Now, I love the notion of Ahsoka being seen on this series. I really love the thought of having Ashley Eckstein back, but I think she's a big gun. And I think it's a little too soon. And I also think in terms of animated seasons that have ended with an Ahsoka reveal, we had that with Rebels. I think it would be the same note again. And I think they may do it at some point, but I think it's a little early personally. I can see them doing it at some point, but there's a lot for this finale to cover as is. Do you guys think there's any shot at this? Ahsoka for Life really wants this to happen.
I mean, great, but I'm with you.
Yeah, I love you, Ahsoka for Life. I just don't see it happening.
I think it's going to happen for real. I just don't think it's going to happen this season. It could happen in 2022. It's all about having Ashley Eckstein back for me, because we know we're getting Ahsoka in live action. But hopefully someday Ashley will return. And when she does, maybe she'll come on the show. Who knows? Now, if you'll permit me, and I have by the grace of both Caitlin Bush and Matt Romano leave to do this, I'm going to do a very rare personal plug. We don't really do this. Plugs for projects that have nothing to do with this podcast. It does have to do with a podcast, just not this one. So forgive me, listeners, but this is something that I think you will enjoy. As I said, I don't usually do this, but my colleague said that I could. If you're looking for a fun narrative podcast, and by that I mean a story podcast, it's not an after show or discussion. It's more like an audiobook, but it's it's a narrative podcast, right?
Yeah,
guys?
Narrative
that's
podcast.
Mm-hmm. Narrative story podcast. There is one coming out, a new one, on August 13th, and it is called The Earth Moves. It's only two episodes. It's a two-episode story. So we get one episode on the 13th and one, I think, the next week. And that's it. It's the whole story. And you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. It is written by the great Mac Rogers, based on an idea by Abe Goldfarb, directed by my dear, dear, dear friend Jordana Williams, produced by Sean Williams, best friend in quotation marks, designed by Kara Ellenfeld, and it stars my dear friend and alum of Beetlejuice on Broadway, the great Abe Goldfarb, and it also stars myself. It is definitely, it's just the two of us. It is definitely not for young ears. It is for adults. It's not porn or anything, you know, it's not gruesome, but it's definitely for adults, but I am really excited about it. I think it's quite good. And it's free. So why not subscribe and listen? Again, it's called The Earth Moves, and it comes from, you can subscribe right now. It's on Apple Podcasts and everywhere else right now. It comes from Gideon Media, and they didn't just produce this new story. They have a lot of great podcast entries out there now, including adaptations of two Wallace Shawn plays, both with the original cast that they collaborated on with Wallace Shawn himself, which is no small thing. They have an ongoing original narrative sci-fi podcast called Give Me Away, which is excellent. Some of the best actors in the city are working on that. Have worked on it, will continue to work on it. And coming up is an adaptation of the play God of Obsidian, which is one of the best plays I have ever seen. Stars the writer Mac Rogers and Rebecca Ophelia Comtois, I should say. All of it, again, coming from Gideon Media. And I don't just love them because they tolerate me. I love them because their work truly is that good. The sci-fi narrative podcast Steal the Stars, which is a few years old now, was done by them. You can still find that everywhere you get podcasts. And in case any of you listen to that, they're the same people, a lot of the same cast that is working on these projects. So check that out. Gideon Media, The Earth Moves. End of plug.
Yes, woo, woo, check woo. It out. Woo, check woo. It out.
Multiple ships have entered the system, a Hutt barge, several Hat People ships, and a fleet led by the Grand Collector. And he started landing walkers outside of your energy fields. Whoa. He's also coming through on the comm.
Okay, put him through.
Oh, God.
Oh, I forgot how creepy he is.
Oh, no.
You can steal my ship and fly away.
Well, yeah.
Oh, wow. Think again, Remender. I'll show you what happens to those who steal from me. And then I will attain what would be the crown jewel of my collection.
Can we turn off the visual?
The take! I don't care if it isn't safe. I will have it, and I will have it soon, oh so soon. Begin landing. And open fire.
Oh, man.
Open fire.
Transmission.
Okay. Turn it off.
Over.
That's going to do it for this episode, we have to maintain defenses. Lighten up, Cap. It's going to be good.
I don't know
we're
about that.
Buckle down defenses, and we're going to make sure that Faitlin is still enclosed in the shielding. Last I've been checking throughout the episode.
Shielding is still up.
She's still there. Yeah. We haven't gotten any new episodes of her damn podcast. So
yeah, enough of that.
Anyway, but join us next week for our season finale, where we'll continue coverage of The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
By discussing the season finale of The Bad Batch, and we're going to do more of all this other stuff, too. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and in the sky at Return of the Pod. You can also find us directly. Caitlin Bush, you can be found where?
I can be found occasionally at Caitlin M. Bush, that is C-E-I-T-L-I-N-M. Bush like the beer, not like the presidents.
Wouldn't count on it. Matt Romano, you can be found where?
You can find me at Matt Romano on Twitter, M-A-T-T-R-O-M-A-N-O.
And I can be found on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, I guess, at Brian Silliman. That's at B-R-I-A-N-S as in Sky Guy, I-L-L-I-M-A-N. Stretch out with your feelings and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke 'em if you got 'em. Take it, Sheevy. And remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. This is the way we have spoken. For light and life, many boats, the Force will be with you always. Be the spark, and now the rains weep o'er their halls with not a soul to hear.